Well, our reading this morning comes from Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 2. If you've got a Bible at home, if you've got sight of one here, do turn to it with me, Matthew chapter 2. And I'm going to read from verses 1 to 12. Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, "Where is the Messiah to be born?" "In Bethlehem, in Judah," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Let's pray as we spend a few minutes just looking at those verses together. Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you for your word to us, and we trust that your word is living and active by your Spirit, and we pray, please, that you would speak to us through it this morning. Would you work in our hearts, in our minds? Would you bring to life the truths found here that will make a difference for us today? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We've heard a lot, haven't we, these past few days or past few weeks about Christmas potentially being cancelled. The restrictions that kept changing as the days went on, the tears that kept being added, perhaps to our faces as well as to the regulations. Christmas cancelled. Well, Christmas is certainly different. I suspect none of us have ever faced a Christmas quite like this. But cancelled? Well, I want us to see two things this morning that are still the same, that are unchanging, that are no different this year than they were last year, than they were 2,000 years ago. We're here in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew here in chapter 2 is quite quick really in describing the birth of the Lord Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, we're told, chapter 2 verse 1. We're not quite sure of the timing after Jesus was born in Bethlehem. It could be up to 2 years later, next week, or not next week, when will it be? We lose track of the days, don't we? Sunday, 2 days' time. We're going to go into the next passage, which describes Herod wanting to get rid of all the babies in Bethlehem up to the age of 2. That suggests potentially Jesus could be a little bit older than, certainly than a baby. In this passage, the word that's used to describe him, child, is slightly older than a word that's sometimes used of infant or baby to describe Jesus. So this incident here in Matthew chapter 2 might be a little bit later than the birth of Jesus. There's also a bit of confusion about the star. What is this star? Where did it come from? People have tried to describe it and look back and try and work out, is there some sort of natural phenomenon that might have taken place just at this time? We've seen over the past week or so, haven't we, the two planets that have come close together, the conjunction, I think it's been called, of Saturn and Jupiter. This phenomenon in the sky of a brighter star shining. Well, that happened around the time that Jesus was born, and some people think maybe this is what took place, these two planets that came together that shone brighter. And people who studied the stars had certain understandings of what different planets might represent, and one of those planets was reckoned to represent kingship, and one of those planets was reckoned to represent Israel, a king of Israel. Others say no, this was something supernatural taking place. This star led them literally to Bethlehem. It talks about stopping over the place where Jesus was born. I think we have to say we don't really know quite what this star was. Possibly Saturn-Jupiter combination, possibly something else. But there's truths here that we can hold on to today. The first is this: Jesus is still the shepherd we need. Jesus is still the shepherd we need. The Magi, understanding from the stars that there was a new king of Israel that had been born, they went to their capital, to Jerusalem. There, reigning in Jerusalem or over that region, was King Herod. He was a nasty piece of work. He was very insecure, suspicious of others who might look to take his power. Ruthless. He'd murdered his wife, his mother-in-law, his sons. Ruthless. So perhaps it's of no surprise that when he hears of these Magi asking after the King of the Jews, he is disturbed. See that in verse 3? He was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Sets up the theme of the gospel as Jesus comes onto the scene. Again and again we see opposition to Jesus, not open arms of welcome from everybody, and not just mistrust or misunderstanding, but opposition. Here we see them disturbed, the combination of the religious leaders and the Roman leaders. By the end of the gospel, would see Jesus crucified. Opposition to Jesus. But we notice also it's desperately sad, isn't it, what we see of the religious leaders in Jerusalem, because Herod goes to them. He's heard that people are there asking for the King of the Jews, so he summons the religious leaders and asks them, where is this king to be born? Where will this Messiah be born? Verse 4. And they know the answer, don't they, immediately? In Bethlehem, in Judea. They quote from the prophet Micah. Out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Just tragic, isn't it? These religious leaders who again would reject Jesus, who would see him crucified, who don't rush to Bethlehem themselves. They know where the Messiah is to be born. There's people who are disturbed, there's tragedy, but I want us to focus in on those words of Micah that are quoted for us. Verse 6 of Matthew 2, out of you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. In Micah, we get a bit more detail. Micah chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, more of this shepherd, he will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. Have you felt insecure at times this year? Here there's word of a shepherd who will bring security. We're reminded of Psalm 23, aren't we? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What great words of comfort those have been to God's people over the generations. The Lord is my shepherd. He is with me. Even in the darkest valley, he is with me. Emmanuel, God with us. Or perhaps it reminds us of John chapter 10, of words Jesus would say of himself when he'd grown up. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. In our fears this year, in our loneliness, in our uncertainty, in our grief, in our guilt, we can still turn to the Good Shepherd who came that first Christmas time. Coronavirus doesn't stop that. Doesn't stop him being close, being near, being with us. And maybe today, just maybe, of all Christmases, we feel the need of that shepherd a little bit more. His presence with us, his comfort in us. Have you turned and asked the Lord to be your shepherd? Have you, like a sheep this year, wandered from him? See here, this call to you. Jesus, born that first Christmas time, came as your shepherd to look after you, to provide for you, to lead you, to guide you, to protect you, to bring you through. Jesus is still the shepherd we need. Secondly, we can still worship him. We can still worship him in spite of all the restrictions, in spite of the virus this year. We can still come to him in worship and praise. Did you notice the reason why the Magi travelled? These wise men set off from home, travelled a long distance, made their way to Jerusalem, then Bethlehem. Why? Look at verses 1 and 2 again in Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." That's why they travelled. It's quite extraordinary, isn't it? They weren't tourists just going to see him. They weren't extended family coming to bring a gift. They came to worship. They understood somehow how precious, how special, how wonderful this baby was. We have come to worship him. Herod understood that's what they came to do, and he makes up, doesn't he, as he sends them off, "Oh, go and find out where this baby is and then come back and tell me," verse 8, "so that I too may go and worship him." And then what happens when they arrive in Bethlehem? Verse 11, "On coming to the house, the Magi, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh." Treasures fit for a king. These men, were there three? We don't know. Certainly more than one. These men approached this baby and bowed down and worshipped. It's an extraordinary sight, isn't it? Have you ever bowed down and worshipped a baby? we worship all kinds of things, don't we, in our hearts, with our money, with our time, with our thoughts. But here were these men, great efforts, great lengths, travelled afar, as we sing. Come to the baby Jesus and bow down and worship. They understood Jesus was, well, more than special. And they give a taste of what we see as the gospel goes on, as the New Testament goes on, of the right reaction to this Jesus. It's what the disciples do after Jesus has been raised from the dead in Matthew chapter 28. It says a couple of times, they bowed down and worshipped him. It's what we read of in Revelation chapter 5. A glimpse into the throne room of heaven. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. And John, who wrote Revelation down for us, says, then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that's in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, that's Jesus, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Four living creatures said, amen, and the elders fell down and worshipped. It's what's going on in heaven now around the Lord Jesus, worship of him. It's what we join in with when we sing. We long for that day when we can do that again together, don't we? To worship the Lord Jesus, to bring our adoration, our praise, our love, our wonder, our awe, recognize his greatness. What reasons can you think of to worship him today? Because he hasn't changed. This year's been very different. This day is very different. But Jesus hasn't changed. His character is still the same. His goodness, his love, his faithfulness, his gentleness, his perfection, his holiness, his purity. His provision to deal with our sin, to bring forgiveness. In fact, we have many more reasons to worship the Lord Jesus than the Magi did, don't we? We know so much more about him, what he would go on to do. We can still worship the Lord Jesus today on this very different Christmas day. Bring our adoration, our praise, our thanks. Because he is still who he is. Let me close our service by reading some words from Revelation chapter 7, which capture both those things of Jesus being our shepherd, the shepherd we need, that still being true, and of Jesus being the one we can worship, still worship today. Revelation 7, we read this. John, again in his vision, sees this extraordinary picture of people from every tribe and language around the throne of God. And he asks this question, who are they? And he's told, these are they who've come out of the great tribulation. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they're before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. True for us today. True for us in eternity. Have a very happy Christmas. God bless you.